Hey, welcome to the Intentional Living Center today. I'm Dr. Randy Carlson. I am really looking forward to these next 30 minutes. If you know someone or you are someone in the workplace, and as a believer, as a follower of Christ, you're finding around you just a degree of hostility, spoken or unspoken, whenever issues of faith come up, you don't know how to make that work in the workplace for you, we have a new friend to the ministry. Joining us today, an expert in this field that's going to help us think very intentionally in how to deal with this in a way that honors Christ and also just to honor our coworkers. So if you're ready, let's get at it as we talk about faith in the workplace.
Welcome to Intentional Living with your host, Dr. Randy Carlson. Call now, 1-888-888-1717. That's 1-888-888-1717. And now, from the Intentional Living Center in Tucson, Arizona, where we want to help you be intentional for your work, here's Randy.
All right. Thank you, Kurt. Welcome to our center today. And we're going to get right at this. And we have a new friend of the ministry, a special guest joining us. Helen Mitchell lives, as it says in her bio, at the intersection of faith and the reality of integrating her pastoral business and academia experiences in the workplace. She's a leadership and strategic coach, and the director of the Talbot Center for Faith, Work, and Economics at Talbot School of Theology at Biola University in California. And she's joining us on the phone today. Helen, welcome to Intentional Living.
Well, thank you, Randy, for the opportunity to join you here today.
Big issue. One of the five essential areas that we focus on, we talk about faith, our family, health, finance, and work, big issue. And being successful in the workplace, if people work, they're about a third of their lives consumed in the workplace, and they're a believer, and they wrestle with this. And I was thinking the other day, and the reason I wanted to do this, Helen, was some people are overt about their faith, others not so much. Some people, frankly, sometimes as Christians, we're not very good at how we interact in the workplace, but what do you find in all the work that you've done that we as Christians find that in a hostile environment that works and doesn't work for us?
Wow, that is just a great question. That's a big question. I think that the first thing is to really think about what do we mean when we say living our faith in the workplace. And while we may think that it is confined to evangelism, proselytizing our coworkers, counseling, and holding a Bible study, and all those things are good, that is not what an employer is paying an employee for and having them to do. And Scripture really tells us that our first way to live out our faith and flourishing in our role in the world is to steward and manage the work that's before us. Mm. And I think that that's our first place that we compromise our witness, that we really don't understand the call to work. And when we treat it as a byproduct, we don't work with excellence, and we don't work with meaning and purpose, and then the rest just falls apart.
Yeah, I think that's excellent. Yeah, because let's face it, you and I have been around long enough, worked with people to know that just because we're Christians doesn't mean that we're going to be good employees. And
right.
That should be a standard to say, if we're going to be in the workplace, the Scripture says I'm working not unto man, but unto God. If I'm doing this to honor God, then I want to be at the top of the pile, go the extra mile, and be a testimony through the excellence that I do. That people say, my goodness, look at this person. Helen, she's in the workplace. Look at the work Helen's doing. I mean, she's an excellent employee. What's going on with Helen that makes her so efficient, effective in her work? Boy, that opens the door for you, doesn't it, then, to start sharing what your life's about and your priorities.
Absolutely, absolutely. And, you know, Jesus said, let your light so shine before men that they may see your good works and praise your Father in heaven. And that word works in the Greek is ergon, meaning business, employment, anything done by hand. So what if believers out in the marketplace were to work with such intentionality and innovation and connected to the God of all creation that they brought forth solutions and ideas and innovations and contributed to their employer and to their communities around them that really caused people to stop and go, wow, how did you do that?
Yeah, that's excellent. Helen Mitchell's joining me today. We're talking about faith in the workplace. You're welcome to join us if you have a question or comment at 888-888-1717. Helen, we got Vicki who's called with a comment. Vicki, welcome to the program. Go right ahead.
Well, I just wanted to share a little story that I've been itching to share here for about a month or so, but talking about being intentional, I'm a flight attendant. When I go into work, usually on my way to work, I'll say a quick prayer, you know, Lord, let me just affect somebody's day in a positive way. So I had these two gentlemen come on board, these two young men, and they just had a look in their eye, but they were my captive audience because they were directly in front of my jump seat. I kind of suspected they might be Christian music artists just from listening to them chat with each other. They were both getting ready to be daddies, and I started talking to them about being intentional with their time, especially knowing that they were artists, knowing that they led very busy lives. Anyway, they both were kind of chuckling, and you could tell they were really listening to it and kind of chuckling about it. And the one fella, Trey, says, "Hey, Google his name when you get back to your room." And I said, "Well, what is your name?" And he says, "Travis Green." So I go back to my room and I Google his name. His song was called Intentional and it was the top on the charts for 16 weeks. And I just thought, God, you are so cool. And these two young men gave me a lot of hope for our future. Because boy, they were on fire and they were so cool. And I got to pray with them, but we won't tell anybody about that.
All things are working for my good, yeah. Because he's intentional. Never failing,
all things are working for my good.
'Cause he's intentional.
He's intentional.
All right. Hey, thank you, Vicky, for that call. We got that song set up for you, too. Travis Green, by the way, that's a really fascinating song. It may not be your music style, but I'll tell you what. It's a song written. It's called Intentional. It was number one on the Billboard U.S. Gospel chart back in 2015. Travis was with us. We talked to him just a couple years ago here on Intentional Living. But in the workplace, making a difference, appearing different, being different, from the standpoint, Helen, of someone in the workplace today and they're finding some hostility perhaps toward their faith from a coworker, what have you found in your work that can be helpful to them in dealing with a hostile environment as a Christian?
Yes, I think there's a couple of things someone can do, both directly in engaging with other people and on their own. The first is, you know, what a great story Vicky told us.
Yeah.
Wow. I mean, what affirmation for her and for the music artist that God is in the midst of their lives. And Vicky's very intentional as how she's showing up to work every day. And, you know, Scripture tells us back in Genesis 1 that God gives us dominion over the earth, and Jesus gave us that back. That dominion and rulership back after the cross, before he went back to heaven. And I think that's the first thing that we can do is we enter our workplace. This is what I tell my students at Biola, is that you can walk into your workplace. You don't have to engage with anyone, but you can just start praying. And you can just start praying as you're walking into the place and as you're passing by the finance folks in that area. You can just pray for God to, you know, release honest accounting and integrity and all that in the finances. And as you walk past HR, you can pray for God to release new wisdom and ideas and innovations as it relates to treating people right. And so you can release an atmosphere of God's presence into the workplace where people start to draw on that. And you start doing that in community with other believers, things will begin to change. So that would be the first thing that I would suggest that someone could do. Secondly is, with regard to hostility of faith, I think there's a lot that we know about that Christians are known too much about what we're against, mm-hmm. and we don't take the time to stop, listen, and engage.
Yeah.
And, you know, professionalchristiancoaching.com is a website and an organization for anybody, whether you want to be a professional coach or not, but to really learn how to ask good questions. Instead of engaging and telling people and being on a defensive and trying to sell people, how about if we ask questions? And here's a little tip I'll give. We ask what and how questions. You don't ask why questions, because mm-hmm. that puts people on the defensive and it causes their brain chemistry to change. And so I think that might be two things we can do. And the third thing that I would just say is Jesus told us to love and forgive. And as we live in a posture of love and forgiveness, and God told the Israelites in Jeremiah to seek, as they went into exile, to seek the peace and prosperity of the land in which they're going. So we are to stand strong in the battle and to affect change and make a difference, and just seek God every step of the way, knowing it's not going to be easy.
Excellent. You know, Jesus was, he was a master, not only storyteller, but also a questioner. He knew the right question at the right time to the right person. Very intentional, right? And there is something powerful in asking questions. Hey, listen, if you just joined me today here at the Intentional Living Center, Helen Mitchell has joined me. She's the director of the Talbot Center for Faith, Work, and Economics at Talbot School of Theology at Biola University in California. And we're talking about faith in the workplace today. I wanted to do this for a while and do it in a way that can be helpful to you. And you're welcome to join in as well at 888-888-1717, like Evelyn has with a comment for today. Evelyn, go ahead.
In my work field, I work as a behavioral health technician, and I work with people who deal with substance abuse and who have really an addictive lifestyle to drugs, and they're depressed and they have anxiety. And so when I meet with these clients in my office, I am prohibited to talk about Jesus and the power that he has to save them. So, of course, I pray for them at home, but I also, certain people, I can't hold back the power that can save them. So when I'm sitting there with a person who is highly depressed and who is thinking about suicide or who is thinking about ending, you know, their lives and on this earth, I cannot hold back the truth that will set them free. And I will quote scriptures to them and let them know, I respect you as a human being. I am no better than you. I don't know more than you. But I do know that the power of Jesus is strong. And I know that the power of Jesus can save you. And many, many times people break down and start crying and really open up to me. Sometimes they're very reserved and, you know, they thank me. And they might have other beliefs, and so they don't comment on what I said. But as a believer, I have to risk that. I have to risk being fired because I know that if I don't speak the name of Jesus to them, then I might have been the only person that would have. And what if they decide to end their lives?
And of course, you're at the, talking about crossroads, you're at the crossroads in an environment where people are at the bottom. And many times in the workplace, we don't have that, and yet people are still seeking. Appreciate that call, Evelyn. Comment on that, Helen, in terms of freedom. As you said, as we said at the beginning, we're not hired to go in and be evangelists in the workplace. We're be hired to do a job. But there are those moments when you're with a person, you develop a relationship, and they're really hurting, and you know you can speak into their lives. How do you balance that?
You know, well, first of all, Evelyn, thank you for your service, your ministry in the marketplace, and your service to these people. A difficult place that can put you in many times, and what a strong woman you are. Yeah. And thank you for what you're doing for these folks. And Randy, when we're in the marketplace and we are having an opportunity to share our faith, sometimes discernment is key. And we really need to really have discernment about the opportunity. And if we're, let's just say it's a business environment outside of what Evelyn just described, conversation progresses, you can ask permission to share your faith or your testimony, or more importantly is if you do start to share scripture or you do start to share your faith, you do talk about God and Jesus. If the other person says, I don't want to hear it, or please stop, we need to do that for two reasons. One, it honors the other person, right? So, you know, no one's going to convert by being forced to believe or hear something. But also, legally, we need to comply with that. But I love Evelyn's, I love her boldness. And I'd say one thing that would apply for all of us. You know, Scripture says, Jesus said that my sheep hear my voice and follow me. And Scripture says all can prophesy, which is different than having a gift of prophecy. And it's a matter of just hearing the Holy Spirit speak. And so a lot of times when I'm in a situation with a business client or a student, and I just say, Lord, Holy Spirit, tell me, what is the Father and the Son saying about this person right now? What do you want me to know? What can I say? How do you want to encourage them? And when we speak God's very word and truth, he will anoint those words and touch their heart. And sometimes that's another way in which we can share the gospel because we have the power of the Holy Spirit.
Yeah. Well, that's really good, Helen. And I think the maturity and also the being humble enough in a relationship, you see a person in need and sometimes we want to get into our preacher mode. I have found that just connecting with them and then at the right moment say, man, would it be all right with you? I have something I'd like to share. Is it all right with you? Giving them permission to stay in control to say no or to push back. And if they say yes, then they still have ownership of that decision. And so whatever you share, they gave you permission to share. It's one of the strategies, I think, in communication that works. We're going to be back with more. Helen Mitchell joining me today. If you just joined us, she's director of the Talbot Center for Faith, Work, and Economics at Talbot School of Theology at Biola University. And we're talking about faith in the workplace today. I'll be back with some more calls and more discussion.
This is Intentional Living with your host, Dr. Randy Carlson. Intentional Living is furnished by Parent Talk Incorporated and is made possible by the generous support of our listeners. This program is not a substitute for professional counseling, medical, financial, or legal advice. Intentional Living is not intended to be therapy by radio. We are Intentional Living, and we'll be right back.
Do you procrastinate about a lot of things? Many people do. I am Dr. Randy Carlson with an Intentional Living Minute. I found an interesting little verse in Proverbs 4 that says, "Let your eyes look straight ahead and your eyelids look right before you." You know, that's really an intentional living verse. Can I challenge you if you have a lot of dreams, a lot of ideas, but really a lack of follow through, to have fewer dreams and more daily action? That's really goal setting, isn't it? I wrote a book called The Power of One Thing, and in that book I outlined that every day doing the next right one thing. And even at the end of each day, to be able to look back and say, I accomplished this one thing that moved me closer to my bigger dream. That's a powerful way to overcome procrastination. Get started doing one thing today, no matter how small it is. And when you do, that's intentional living.
For more information and inspiration, go to theintentionallife.com.
I call to say, I live an intentional life. I'm a CNA and I have clients. And I go to their homes and most of them are ill. And they have such nice people. So God laid it on my heart the other day that I should go in the homes and pray with my clients. So each day or whenever I go to someone's home, I pray with them. And it's just opening up so many blessings for me. And I love them so much, and they care about me, and that's such a blessing. That's what God laid on my heart to do. Be blessed. Bye-bye.
We are, and thank you. Intentional Living, 888-888-1717. Hey, tell me a little bit, Helen, about what you do. You're director at Talbot Center for Faith, Work, and Economics at Talbot School of Theology there at Biola, and you're putting young people out into the workplace. What are you experiencing? What are you seeing? What's been your observation as you've been in this field working with training young people for the future?
Yeah, thank you for asking that. I have actually, not by any design of my own, but by God's provident hand, when he took me out of the marketplace in my executive job almost 18 years ago, I've been on this faith at work journey, discovering and discerning this on my own and trying to figure out where's God leading and what this means. And I am just so passionate. This is such a critical theology to, I think, its core to not only whole life discipleship, but before we have revival, we need reformation. And that, you know, that comes with the coming together of the marketplace and the local church and the pastors understanding and affirming the intrinsic value of work and understanding what that means. And so that's what one of the things we're doing with the Talbot Center for Faith, Work, and Economics is coming alongside pastors and churches to helping them discern and to understand what does this mean? And more importantly, how do I actually do this? How do I execute this and integrate this into my local church so that it's an outflow? And how do I minister to my people? And how does it affect who I am? And with regard to students, I'm also on the faculty at the School of Business, teaching both in the MBA Leadership Program and the Undergraduate Organizational Ethics. These students are very hungry to make a difference in the world, but they are not getting the type of direction to navigate gray issues that they absolutely need. It's a much different world today than it was 20 ago. And so they're very hungry for this integration of faith and work and for direction and making a purpose. Because if we don't help them, church doesn't help them, culture, social media will form their views and desires.
Well, you're right, and a very important strategic point, having these young people coming in, people of faith, young people looking for the future and helping guide them. So we'll certainly need, I would say to my listeners, let's make sure we're praying for Helen and others like Helen who are training this next generation. It's certainly important.
Thank you.
Doyle has a comment for us from Kansas today. Welcome to the program, Doyle. Go ahead and tell us your story.
Several years ago, I went to work at Boeing in Wichita and ate lunch at the picnic table, the lunch area that they provided. There was a lot of dirty jokes and bad language and everything going around, so I just stayed at my workbench and read my Bible. Well, within a week and a half, the ladies started moving their chairs over to my workbench. They never talked to me or anything. I'd read my Bible, but they would start congregating around there to eat their lunch from the bad language. There was one certain fella that he kept trying to put dirty pictures and dirty jokes and stuff on my table. I'd never look at them. I'd just put them off on the floor. And after about 3 months, this fella came over to me and he said, Doyle, said, my mother's going in for surgery. Would you please pray for her? Mm. So living the life in front of him does make a difference.
Wow. Hey, Doyle, thank you for your call. And what I love about that, Helen, is he just kind of quietly was doing it. He was just kind of living his life, wasn't, you know, making a big scene. And we kind of attract, I've discovered we kind of attract who we are. And if we're genuine people and of faith, we're going to attract people just by virtue of how we live our lives, which I think is probably what you're trying to help Christians and pastors and others see that we need to be teaching to Christians in the workplace.
Absolutely. What a great story, too, that Doyle told us.
Mm. How about you? You said you came out of corporate America into what you're doing now. How did you function in the workplace?
You know, when I, the Lord took me out of the marketplace about 15 years ago, there was very little out there about faith at work. Books, no books, blogs. We weren't having conversations like we are today. Yeah. So that wasn't in out there and available, first of all. But secondly, I would have to say is many times as I look back, while I know that I was a good leader, I certainly did not have any understanding how my faith formed my work. Mm. And I certainly did not live in any intentional way to bring my faith into my work or to have it know that I was on mission and that I was doing something for Jesus with just the very nature of managing and running a company. And so I look back on that and sometimes with regret and sometimes I look at it and say I want to be able to communicate a message that's different for other people who have a different runway ahead of them.
Well, I'm sure that sort of prepared you for what you're doing now. I mean, the fact that you sounds like you look back and say, well, I'd probably go back, maybe do some things differently, but you're helping prepare people today. Now, when you talk about the church and working with pastors, what are you teaching them, and how are they hopefully applying that to their work with their congregants?
A great question. There's a process for which pastors to kind of embrace this idea of faith work economics, and not only from a theological perspective, but then more as an organizational perspective. There's a great organization that we partner with. It's called Made to Flourish, a pastor's network for the common good, led by Pastor Tom Nelson, who has a great book called Work Matters, Connecting Sunday Worship to Monday Work. That's a great place for pastors to begin to have conversation to get into community. But the Talbot Center for Faith Work Economics comes alongside and works with pastors and churches as they begin to strategically discern and figure out how do I actually execute this change and how do I bring this on board in my local church? How do I integrate it with my overall mission and strengths and what and the calling that we are as a church? What are some of the deeply held beliefs that are sabotaging us with regard to this? How do we disciple people in their work life? So we'll bring framework strategies and help them to we'll coach them and consult them and help them figure out where God's on-ramp is for them in this conversation so that the people in their church are fully activated and living fully on mission in all aspects of their life.
That's really good. This is new to me for what you guys are doing, but I'm glad to get this word out to our listeners. Let me see. Ron has been standing by here from Texas with a comment. Welcome to the program, Rhonda. Go right ahead.
I don't think you should have to check your faith at the door. I think you should be able to witness at work or anywhere else that you are. But at the same time, by allowing a Christian to witness anywhere they want to, you have to be ready for somebody of a different faith, of a different religion, to share their faith and their opinion with you, which could be good in the long run. You get to share Jesus with somebody who obviously doesn't know Jesus. But I can understand why an employer may say you can't do it, just to avoid the religious confrontation that could occur.
Yeah, and boy, it can't. Thank you, Rhonda, for that reminder. And we're just scratching the surface on this today, Helen. We have to have you back another time if you're available. I'd like to continue this discussion because from Intentional Living, our passion here is we believe very strongly. We know that God is an intentional God. Christ was very intentional in his life. We're made in his image. And that in this generation, we have a choice to make. We either choose to be intentional, which begins for us in declaration of our intention. What is my intention? And then living it out, developing the kind of habits, decluttering our lives, and then living in a way that really honors him. And the workplace is a huge area, and we shouldn't put it into departments. We are a believer wherever we are, understanding we got different roles and responsibilities when we move through life. And I think we've touched on some of those today. I got about 1 minute left. What's your parting shot, Helen, that would be helpful for people in the workplace today?
I would just say that your work is ministry. Ministry is, in the Greek, is diakonia. Ministry is not an industry, an occupation, or a job title. Ministry is a way of life for anybody who is called as a believer in Jesus Christ and as a follower in Jesus Christ. Everything we do, whatever we do, do it as if we're working for the Lord and not for men, because your work at home, your work in the marketplace, your work in the local church is all ministry to Jesus.
Amen. Helen Mitchell joining me today. She's the director of the Talbot Center for Faith, Work, and Economics at Talbot School of Theology at Biola University, among many other things that she does. And did good today. Helen, thank you for joining me on Intentional Living.
It was a pleasure. Thank you, Randy.
Appreciate it. Keep up the good work. What's your thought? We'd love to hear your feedback on our comment line, 888-888-1717. My parting one thing shot today for you as you think about living intentionally in the workplace is remember what the scripture says. When you have bad days, difficult people, big decisions, things that don't work out the way you think, remember you're working as unto the Lord, not unto men. If you keep that as a priority, then working unto men becomes a work of excellence, right? Because you are doing it because of your faith and who you are in Christ. I'm Randy Carlson. I want to say thanks on behalf of Rob and Amy and Stephen today, our team behind the scenes. And we'll see you next time from Intentional Living.